Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Shh, don't tell your mother.
Is that the intro?
Yeah.
Do you know what I was going to suggest? Because I knew you'd love it, not because it's better than yours. I never meant to break your heart.
Yeah, let's go with that. Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to do the second half of it?
Oh, you're listening to Ron Huggins. Yeah, you need to do it again, though.
Oh, okay. Do I? No, Shane said
yeah.
I don't.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Keep the laugh. That was the point. It's no crack if there's no laugh.
You're listening to Bandwagons.
Talking about things that other people are talking about.
You look particularly animal-like today, and I don't know why. Like, in a good way.
That's
like a
kind of...
No, I mean, let me finish. Like a beanie boo or something.
You say you... What else was there to finish? You look particularly animal-like today.
No, not, like a more stuffed animal than actual animal. Like cuddly, like cute.
It's very cold in my room, so I just put on my dressing gown there. It's just very cold in the house in general. I went to go out skating there, but the ground is wet, and apparently you're not supposed to skate on my ground because it wrecks your bearings. There's probably something about luck as well. I don't know. I'm not sure what bearings. Ball bearings? I don't know.
I have no idea what those words mean.
I don't know either, but I said, you know what? I won't chance it. So I went skating around the hall for 20 minutes.
Do you know what you could get for your garden? You can get, like, we were looking at getting this click-in patio deck kind of thing.
Right.
You buy it by the square.
I've never heard of anything more Breed Brown notion like.
Yeah, you buy it by the square.
Let's buy a Lego functioning decking for our garden that I don't own and will inevitably have to take away.
For the barbecue corner.
Listen, I think you should. I'm not taking the position.
Oh, no, I think you should because it'd be a great...
Please, on what planet do you think we have the room for that?
Seen the garden. You put it on top of the ground you already have and you could skate on it then because you can't skate on grass.
We have a little bit of concrete.
Oh, well then. Sure, look, why did you let me go on for so long?
But this was wet as well, so I couldn't skate on that either. We are doing up the garden, though. Our very nice neighbour... makes a change from the shitty ones.
Does he listen?
I don't know if he does, and I don't want to name him. Just like, in case he knows who he is. I would highly doubt he listens.
One day he'll want to shout out, and I can't wait.
Yeah, one day. Anyway, they've obviously just moved in, and they're doing loads of stuff. So he lent us his power hose, and the difference is,
yeah, I would love
stark.
A power hose. Can you tell me, does it matter? Because we've been debating about renting a power hose. Does it? But we think the water pressure in our taps is probably too low.
I don't know if that makes a difference. I'm sure a Bandwagon listener would tell us.
Okay. Yeah, please get in touch because that's the only thing stopping us from actually just renting one.
So he had to like throw the hose over the fence because we didn't have a water outlet in our garden.
Oh, shit. You know what I mean? We don't have one of them either.
And then we just plugged it in our house. It didn't really make any... I didn't really understand. I just stood and let it happen. It was incredible.
Did you get a go of it?
No, I didn't. But I didn't want to. I got very dirty for someone who didn't have a go of it. I was on sweeping duty. I swept a lot of the wet. and the gunk that came up.
Yeah. The girls were trying. We've like all this mold growing out the back where like we have a drain or like just kind of, do you know, like that little like furry
moss,
mossy mold? Yeah, moss. Yeah, it's moss. And
you know that little furry, grassy, mossy moss?
Do you know, like right grass. Outside my back door, like all that concrete there is kind of mossy. So one of the girls said, her mom said, if you pour like washing up powder on it and leave it for a few days, it should sweep up really easily. But I don't know if we've gone back to sweep it up yet. I don't know if it
works. Our neighbor also recommended, because there we could have like, we didn't do it all, like he did like basically the first layer, but our back garden was so mank. And again, that wasn't from us, previous tenants and life, but he recommended like a moss something in Woody's, and it's either called Moss Stop or moss something like that. It's moss, and then the second word is anti-moss. You get it in Woody's, and it's like apparently not all natural and like not isn't really bad for the environment. So that could be an option.
That'd
as well.
Be ideal.
Anyway.
We're obviously, this is the gardening episode.
I'm really glad you could join us for the gardening episode as we head into summer 2K21. We are actually talking about Demi Lovato, as we said last week, because obviously her new album was dropped and all episodes of her most recent documentary, Dancing with the Devil, are now available for everyone on YouTube.
Yeah.
Just to get this very quickly out of the way, there will be references to sexual assault, eating disorders, and addiction.
In this podcast?
So that is your trigger warning. In the documentary and in this podcast, but okay. We're not going to... Me and Brie talked about this, like, in this podcast. We talk about this, we watch the doc, we will talk about it. As two people who have not experienced addiction... We're going to just talk about the doc in the sense of it being...
As an entertainment, not even entertainment.
As a piece of media more than anything else. But we're not qualified to speak on a lot of the subject matter. And that's why we will be referencing it. We're not going to spend a huge amount of time in it because, as I said, we're not qualified. But that's just to get it out of the way. That's your trigger warning there.
A lot of our patrons requested this one, I think, as well, a couple of weeks back when the documentary was just kicking off.
Yeah,
so this one's for you. We didn't write down your names.
When we refused to actually pay for the content itself. But it wasn't that though. It's like I wanted everyone to have watched it as well. And it has, and the album's now. So anyway.
Yeah.
What is your first memory of Demi Lovato?
It was definitely Camp Rock, I'd imagine. But like beyond that, I would say my aesthetic, not that I have much of an aesthetic, but my aesthetic, what I thought between the ages of like 16 and 19, I just wanted to look like Demi Lovato. When I got my nose pierced, I was like Googling pictures because you never really know what side of your nose you're supposed to get pierced. I thought, and then I Googled pictures of Demi Lovato and I was like, whatever side she has, I'll just go with that. And I just wanted to be her. I wanted the big, like dark, dark hair, that whole era, heavy eyeliner. So I was big into her. But it was definitely from the start, it was definitely Camp Rock and Sunny with a Chance.
I didn't watch Camp Rock or Sunny with a Chance or As the Bell Rings at the time. I remember her because, again, this is me and my soapbox, didn't have Disney Channel.
Somebody get this woman Disney Channel.
I remember hearing about her because I was friends with a gal who had Disney Channel. And when I'd be in her house, like we'd watch a lot of Disney Channel, obviously. And I remember her being cast in
As the
Bell Rings, Jessica Williams, big love. I don't know if she listens. I remember her being cast, knew of Camp Rock, obviously, didn't watch. Obviously, I heard like, this is real, this is me. I didn't really think much of it because I didn't have it within the context of the movie. If you want to listen to us talk about Camp Rock, you can do so on our Patreon.
I can't remember us doing that, but I know we did. I'd imagine it was good.
I'd hope it was, but anyway, it lives behind the confines of a paywall now to rot forever. But I remember, I suppose my first real initiation and my first kind of appreciation of her was more her solo music. And I remember her early music videos were like heavily, heavily pushed by the YouTube algorithm at the time. But I don't know if it was just because it was me and because of my age as well. I don't know if the algorithm was smart enough at that point. But I remember for like La La Land and Get Back, like that era.
That video, La La Land video was pushed hard.
Yeah, like
I think it used to be played on Disney Channel as well, like in between shows and stuff.
Again, wouldn't know. My parents had a dodgy box. But I was going to say something else. And I was like,
no. Your parents are going to get arrested now. I hope you know that.
Oh, they're not.
All the guards.
They don't have it anymore. They're good citizens.
They didn't know it was wrong.
Well, I'm fully going to get in trouble for that anyway. if not from the law, from my parents who are the law. And I remember like listening to that and being like, I fucking, because obviously I was a huge Kelly Clarkson stan. Does that fandom have a name? Kelly Clarkson fans.
I'm going to Google it. You keep going.
She was very much that vibe. Because it was because she was working so closely with the Jonas Brothers, which I didn't realize until I researched for this episode. And that's why there is such a bang of them off her first album. It's because they produced it.
It's hardly called the Celebrities.
No, it's not. It's not.
That's what answers.com. That's what answers.com is.
Celebrities.
Hold on, I'm going on to Wikipedia.
What website?
I kind of love that. Answers.com. I kind of love that. Kelly Clarkson. Oh, Celebrities, it is.
We should do a Kelly Clarkson Patreon episode.
The one underneath it is Kelly Rowland, and their fans are called the Rolling Stones.
No, this is fake. That's fake.
I could spend all day on this list. Remind us to come back to this. Yeah, remind
us. That's a Patreon one.
Yeah.
And we could talk about
fandoms.
Fandoms.
Can you hear how squeaky this chair is? I'm afraid people might think it's me. I'm sitting on a leather chair in jeans.
In the middle of April, yeah. What was I going to say? So that would have been my kind of first introduction to her. And then I'd followed, but like in the way that you would someone in mainstream media, like I was like, I knew of her and kind of watched her progress in the way that everyone did. I would never have been like a huge, huge fan, but I never like hated her or anything or like didn't enjoy her music. I would be someone who thinks a lot of her songs are very underrated, but I do still think she's a bit of a, the Levadics are going to kill me for this. I hate her fandom name as well, but that's a separate issue.
Is that really it?
Yeah. Levadics. She's a singles gal. She's not like,
I couldn't
tell you the last time or if I've ever actually actively sat down and listened to a Demi Lovato album.
Yeah, today I listened to a lot of her stuff, but I don't think I'd heard a lot of the new stuff before I watched the documentaries, in fairness.
Where did she come from? Where did she go? Where did she come from? Cotton Eye Joe Breed.
Cotton Eye Lovato. Let me go back to the start here. When I just started at the beginning.
From the Demetria, top, make a drop.
Demetria Devon Lovato.
Love that her name is
Demetria. Insane.
Demetria.
Born on August 20th, 1992, in Albuquerque, New Mexico, to a former Dallas Cowboys cheerleader, Diana De La Garza, and engineer and musician Patrick Martin Lovato. She has an older sister named Dallas. I'd imagine it's because her mom was a Dallas cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
And a younger maternal half-sister who you might know from Desperate Housewives, Madison De La Garza. And she has an older paternal half-sister, Amber, but she doesn't appear in any of the documentaries. And I think they only like met when they were 20 or something. I don't know if there's much of a relationship. I'm not too sure. Her mother is of English and Irish descent. So we can
claim her. Excellent.
She was brought up in Dallas. Imagine being named Dallas and brought up in Dallas. That's like me being called Gory.
See, cool. I feel like it's so normalized for Americans though. Like it's like McKinley. Do you know, like Arizona. All of those names. Arizona, Montana.
Yeah. I think Cove Jones would be a lovely name. Cool for a boy.
Yeah, but I think you'd have to be famous. You wouldn't get away with it as a normal person, I don't think. Someone called Cove listens to this podcast and they're never heard them.
And they're crying.
So yeah, literally.
She began playing piano at the age of 7 and guitar at the age of 10. And then she began singing and dancing classes. In 2002, it all really kicked off for her when she got cast in. So I watched that the original documentary.
Simply Complicated
from like 3 years ago. And that's.
But there was one before that as well, which I forgot about, which I like.
She's too many documentaries, to be honest, for a gal not that much older than me.
I don't think that's her fault. So she did a documentary called Stay Strong with MTV, which I remember watching at the time, and I tried to rewatch again. And this was around the time of the, I think it was like 2011. Let me bring up my own notes. It was around the time of Give Your Heart a Break, whenever that came out. Let me have a look. That was, yeah, so it would have been 2011 for the promotion of the Unbroken album. And she's, and then she did Simply Complicated, which was the first YouTube one she did, and then her most recent one, Dance with the Devil, was a YouTube one as well.
Yes, the most
what
recent
were you saying there, what was that related to?
The most recent one was made by the same people that made the Justin one that we were talking about last week.
Yeah,
same producers and stuff like that,
because they're they're managed by the same people now, so I feel like it's
all the same. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get into it. What were you saying though in relation to the...
But in that Simply Complicated documentary, like, her mom and her sister talk about when they realized she could sing, and she was only about 4 or 5, and she could sing Celine Dion. Like, they said, her sister said she was not human, like, when she sang. So they got her in, and she loved it. So they just started, like, pushing her and auditioning her for everything, tried to get her an agent from, like, a really young age. And it worked. It paid off because she got cast for Barney and Friends in 2002. She played Angela. And then I just, for the crack, looked up Barney on Wikipedia just to give like a brief synopsis. If you are below the age of 13 and you don't know who Barney is,
there are no 11-year-olds listening to podcasts.
No, I know. Not one person.
Bandwagons.
Not one person listening to this doesn't know who Barney is, but I just thought this definition was really funny. The series features the title character Barney, a purple anthropomorphic Tyrannosaurus Rex who conveys educational messages through songs and small dance routines with a friendly, silly, and optimistic attitude. Small dance routines, because he couldn't move his arms very much.
Friendly and positive.
So yeah, she played Angela on that, which is also where she met Selena Gomez.
I do remember them on that. Like, very...
Yeah, like, they were like older Barney. Like, they were after our time.
That was a lit series of Barney though, because it was like they were outside.
Yeah.
They had the caboose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Remember it was like the train thing and they went to, and that was the room.
There was beds and stuff, wasn't there?
No, don't make it weird, Breeze. I don't think there was.
I'm gonna Google that. I'm pretty sure in the shack thing there were beds.
There could have been.
Maybe it was just for Barney though. They were just for Barney and Baby Bop or something. I don't know. I must have looked that up.
Barney had to sleep somewhere. Like,
we should have been critical thinkers watching that.
We should have been. Yeah, we should have been. Anyway,
So it all kicked off from there. In 2006, she appeared on Prison Break, and on Just Jordan the following year.
Remember Just Jordan?
I have no idea what Just Jordan is.
Before Just Jordan was Just Jordan. Hang on, Just Jordan.
What is Just Jordan?
It was a TV show. It was...
You don't even know.
It was on Nickelodeon. I don't really remember like what happened in it, but I remember it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, the name rings a bell, but I definitely never watched it.
Hang on, I'm going to send a little yoke into the chat now. Hang on.
If I open my chat, it's going to go ring, ding, ding.
Oh, will it?
I'll get on my phone.
Just Jordan. I'll WhatsApp it to you. Just Jordan trailer TV.
I'm not watching a Just Jordan trailer now. I'll watch it later.
I know, but just so that you know what it is, because you'll see it and you'll get what it is. Anyway, carry on while I'm sending you this.
But yeah, because she was a child actress at the time, in her own words, she wanted to be the modern day Shirley Temple. She like that was what she really wanted to be. She wanted to be very talented and well known from a young age.
Who was she in Prison Break? Demi Lovato, Prison Break.
I have no idea.
Okay, I'll Google it and you keep going.
She was really badly bullied because of it, and had to leave school because of a lot of dark stuff girls were doing to her in school. I think they started like a suicide petition or something, like really, really dark shit. So they took her out of school and they homeschooled her. Yeah, I don't know where I was going with that. That's just a fact. And then it all kicked off. Disney Channel got their hands on her. So from 2007, 2008, Demi played Charlotte Adams on As the Bell Rings, which I don't think I've ever heard of.
I had heard of it.
Saved by the Bell.
No, it was like a kind of like a series of shorts in an episode, and it was all set around
like the Amanda show.
No, like it wasn't like a sketch show. It was kind of like it was set in a school, and then it was like all these clips that they took of like kids interacting and like doing jokes and saying things between the bells going. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I feel like if you watch it, I'm not explaining it well, but when you watch it, you'd understand.
So she got that, and then she auditioned for Camp Rock and Sunny with a Chance and got both of those in 2007. As we all know, she played Michi Torres in Camp Rock. And then it just seemed to be like one thing after another between Camp Rock and Camp Rock 2. It was just like bang, bang, bang. Like tour album, all this. So she had her first debut album in 2008, which was Don't Forget. Then she had got Sunny with a Chance, where she played Sunny Monroe, the newest cast member of a show within a show called So Random. And then that June, she starred along Selena Gomez in the Disney Channel film The Princess Protection Program.
Did you watch that?
I think I might have watched it at the time, but I have no memory of it.
Fair.
It was the fourth highest.
What about Sunny with a Chance? I think
Sunny with a Chance, I definitely used to watch. Yeah. Your man in it was Goss. What was his name as well?
Sterling.
Sterling. Who knows?
Sterling Knight?
That's I was said the word Sterling Knight the other day when I was talking about your man from This Is Us. And then I was like, who is Sterling Knight? Because he's Sterling Knight, Brown. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, she played Rosie Gonzalez or Princess Rosalinda, and the film was the fourth highest rated Disney Channel original movie, and it premiered to 8.5 million viewers. Then Selena and Demi recorded a song off the back of that, which was released as a promotional single. Then she had her second...
What was that song?
One and the Same?
Don't know.
No idea. Then she had her second studio album in 2009 called Here We Go Again.
You know what I didn't like about this?
What?
So it's like she was 16 when she recorded this, right? And like it just says everything about the industry and the position she was in. So like so this was, as I said, she worked on the Jonas Brothers for the first album. So they wrote
10 of her songs on the first album, or 8 out of 10 of the songs or something crazy.
And she kind of said she didn't want that for the second album, wanted to put her own stamp on it, blah, 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 and said she wanted to write. Now, bear in mind, if my maths are correct, she was 16 at the time, right? Mm-hmm. So she was like, I want to do like different songs, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Said she, I think she said herself in an interview or something that she wanted to write John Mayer-ish songs.
Yeah.
So she said that to her team and they reached out to John Mayer and they were like, will you work with her? And he did. And it was fine. And like, there hasn't been anything said that anything happened to her or anything weird. But he was nowhere near the age of 16 whenever this happened or whenever they recorded. I think it was 2007.
Yeah. What are you insinuating?
Or 2008. I'm not insinuating anything. It's the fact of the matter is that it wasn't great. Like he was too old to be working with.
Someone so current.
Yeah.
At the time.
No, yeah. but like she was very young and I think I remember vividly him because I obviously was a big John Mayer fan and like still am. And I don't necessarily like blame him for this, but at the same time, it's like, you should have known that like this was
a bad mood.
Off. Yeah. And what was I saying? I think he came out and said like La La Land was a really great song or something on social media. And then
La La Land is a really great song.
La La Land is a very good song. Demi Lovato invented shoulder choreography.
Yeah.
Can we all agree on that?
Give her that. And fringes.
And wearing Converse with dresses.
Yes. I heard that lyric today and I was like, where was this when I was that age? But it was there. I just wasn't listening to it.
Who said I can't wear Converse with my dress? That's just me.
Yeah.
That's just me. Anyway, I did think that was weird. I was like, I just didn't like it.
Yeah.
Especially with what we know about like all the shit that went on with him and Taylor or whatever. I'm just a bit anti John Mayer.
Keep John Mayer away from young women.
Yeah. I'm really not implying anything because nothing has been said, but I just remember reading that and being like, why the fuck would you say yes to that? Like, even if, I don't know. But again, I don't know.
It's all money.
Threw me off. Yeah, it is all money. I didn't like that album as much. I didn't like what was that album called?
Here We Go Again.
Here We Go Again. Didn't like it as much.
So that was 2009. In 2010, Lovato and Joe Jonas recorded Make a Wave as a second charity single for Disney's Friends for Change. I listened to it today. I thought I knew it, but I didn't. I knew the first one. I knew Send It On, and that had like the Jonas Brothers and Miley Cyrus on it, I think.
I don't know that one either.
They're very like We Are the World kind of vibes.
Yeah.
So that was 2010. In May 2010, she had a guest starring role on Grey's Anatomy in the episode Shiny Happy People. She played Hayley May, a teenager with schizophrenia.
Who hasn't been on?
Like, if you're not, you're no one if you haven't been on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
The same year, she went on tour then with the Jonas Brothers, and we all know how that went, or we'll get into how that went later on. But that was all before Camp Rock 2 even came out. So Camp Rock 2 came out in September 2010. And it only got 40% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I really like it. As far as sequels go, it's up there.
When we did Camp Rock for Patreon, did we do Camp Rock 2? Did we put them into one?
I don't know.
We're due to Camp Rock 2 again. Let's do that soon.
And then I just have a couple more. She went on then a couple of years later, she was chosen as the judge for the US version of X Factor. She joined Britney Spears, Simon Cowell and LA Reid.
Did you watch any of that when it was on?
No. I don't watch the US version of those kind of shows. I don't know.
I watched... That wasn't the very first series, was it?
No, I think it was the second or third. No, it's the second, sorry. It says it here. It's the second season of...
Yeah, I don't think it went to a third. Oh, because sure, Cheryl was a judge on the first one. And sure, then they were like, bye. Do you remember? It was like Steve Jones hosted, and then they replaced them with Khloe Kardashian and...
Mario Lopez.
Was it Mario Lopez or was it Nick Cannon?
Oh, a bit of both.
It's insane how cursed that show was when you consider like the juggernaut was in the US. I'm sure we talked about this again on the X Factor episode. But I only know it through like clips and like memes. And again, that's because of Britney.
Yeah. So that was 2012. And then March 2014, she was in my favorite role she's ever been in, played Dani in Glee. She played Naya Rivera's girlfriend. And she was in a band with Adam Levine, Naya Rivera, Leah Michelle's character, and Demi Lovato.
When the hell did this happen?
It was like in the New York. Yeah. Okay, it was the New York era. But like there was a band. Imagine the four of those voices in a rock band. Like they were class. And I think they worked in like a roller skate diner. And she has some decent songs. I think she was only in it for like 3 or 4 episodes. But she was class in it.
And that makes sense because the GLAAD Awards are recently, and obviously they were honoring Naya Rivera. Sorry, I'm really sorry for that.
Not to be confused with the Rivera. That's different.
And Demi was part of like the joined the Glee cast honor her, and like was obviously speaking about how Naya helped her kind of realize her queer identity internally. Yeah. And not in a halfway, I was kind of a bit like, why is Demi there? But then now I feel bad because she was on the show.
She played her girlfriend on it. And her whole thing, that was when Demi kind of came out as like queer. She said she did so much on that show for queer girls who didn't know what they were doing, like me at the time. And that was kind of the first time she'd ever really said it in public, I think.
I'm not sure.
Her early acting years.
Interesting. Okay.
That's what I read earlier anyway. It might not be true.
I don't think I think this year was the first time she actually put a label on it in inverted commas and said it. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, it was. But it was at the GLAAD Awards this year?
Yeah, it was. Sorry, it was this year.
Yeah. I think it was.
Sorry, I thought you meant at the time of the show. I was like.
No. At the time of the show, she was. Like she was in it or whatever, but she wasn't out, and she was like, she really helped me to come to terms with like who I was while I was working with her in that show, I think.
We've talked about her kind of first musical efforts. The other thing that I remember really clearly about her, again, as a child who grew up and lived and died by YouTube, was the event that was the Skyscraper music video. Because this came at a point where at this point had been to rehab for what was being presented as like emotional and physical issues, like her eating disorder and
anger management.
anger management issues around self-harm or whatever. And as I said, this was around the time of the MTV documentary Stay Strong, which she's now said and said in Simply Complicated she was high for pretty much that entire interview, or like however they split up that interview. She said she was high on coke. And as I said, I tried to rewatch it trying to refresh my memory. YouTube didn't have all of it, and to be honest, I wasn't really arsed searching anywhere else. You could definitely find it somewhere, but the clips I did see, I don't want to be like, you can tell and it's really obvious, but when you know and then you see it, it's like she's like dead behind the eyes and she's kind of saying these things. And a lot of the stuff she's saying, like, she echoes in Simply Complicated in the most recent documentary. You can really tell.
That's what I was going to say. In the most recent documentary, though, didn't she say something similar about Simply Complicated? Where they ask her, like, are you sober? Or, like, have you relapsed? She was like, oh, no, I haven't touched anything. But, like, she was like, at the time, I was fully lying. Like, I was actively...
No, I think this was when they were filming... Do you know they were filming the documentary for Tell Me You Love Me that they were on tour for?
Oh, yeah.
I think that was that footage. Anyway, in the midst of all this, like, the Stay Strong documentary was like a promotional vehicle and like to address all these things that were going on, obviously in the media and like the speculation about her mental health or whatever. But it was also a promotional vehicle for Unbroken, which was her 2011 album. Get this for the collaborations, right? I've never read a more 2011 collaborations list, right? Okay. Coming in first, we have...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Of Missy Elliott, fair enough, okay?
Starting
Timbaland,
strong.
Timbaland, fair enough. Things start to get a little bit ropey here in the middle. Then we have Dev. Do you remember Dev?
No.
I will say I would die for Dev. Do you know Dev? She did. She's the vocal for Like a G6.
Oh, like okay, G6. Yeah.
And she did Dancing in the Dark. Ooh la la. No. I really liked her. I feel like the
I don't think it's anyway. Really that impressive to be like, I was the vocal on Like a G6.
I don't think
that's impressive.
I'd strongly debate that. Like she had some bangers and then she got pregnant and I feel like the industry turned her back on her. But listen, it's not the Dev episode. Coming in strong at the end, we have Ayaz. They did a song together called Shoddy. You're my only shorty.
He loves shorties.
He does love shorties. And then Jason Derulo. So Skyscraper, as I said, was released as the lead single, peaked at number 10 on the Billboard Hot 100 for a song that seemed like so overexposed and so in my face. It didn't actually really do that. Like, it was her third highest charting single. It's her third highest
Skyscraper
behind This Is Me and her most successful until Sorry Not Sorry peaked at number 6 in 2017.
This is Skyscraper.
Yeah.
I loved that
number
song.
10.
Was that all? I really thought that was bigger.
No.
I remember being in the girl talked and like loving that song.
But as I said, I remember that video being like, oh my God, she's back. And like this power ballad song, like it's incredible. And like she's been really honest and like it still did well. And like it was received well by critics, but commercially it kind of surprised me. And then another highlight from the album, Give Your Heart a Break. Another great song.
Yeah. God, she had so many bangers.
That only went to number 16.
She's just been flying under the radar for too long.
Americans don't have taste. I'll say it again. Sorry.
No.
Then we had Demi, the album that came out in 2013. Lead single, Heart Attack, peaked at number 10. That's a fucking cracker.
Yeah.
A cracker of a song. Second single was Made in the USA, which I do not remember.
I listened to it today. I don't know it.
Neon Lights then was a later single.
That was a banger.
Didn't like it. Very do you know, like, oh, I can belt and I'm just going to keep showing
she
you that
can.
I can belt.
No,
I know, like, but like,
I have a bit about this later, but vocally she is like, she is so talented.
The second chorus, I just can't be bothered. And then Really Don't Care.
Yes,
which
I really like that as well.
Tune. Collabed with Cher Lloyd on that. Who needed that more, Demi Lovato or Cher Lloyd?
Cher Lloyd was long past, I'd say, even at that time.
Yeah, I'm not sure whose benefit that was for anyway. Then I actually saw, because I was thinking about this, I was going to bring it up, and then I remembered that you didn't actually come with me. Why didn't you come with me to see Enrique Iglesias in 2014?
Did you not invite me?
No, I would. I
doesn't
was,
sound we like
in,
me.
We were in college, and Demi Lovato was supporting, and that's
oh,
why I
would have
reviewed.
Passed away. Who? What? When,
I took
what
my friend Jane,
it?
But it seems like
what time of
it
the year
seems
was
like
it?
2014, October. October. Oh no, sorry, November 26th.
November 26th. Was it a weekend?
I didn't think so. Now, to be honest.
I must have something on. I don't think I would have passed up the ping pong song live.
Oh, Enrique Iglesias was incredible now, wasn't it? Actually, let me read
and
this.
That would have been like my
that
would have been like my peak Demi phase as well. So
yeah.
No, there were times when you just brought other people because just to give other people a chance, because I was hogging all the concerts.
Anyway, she supported him. And it was around this time. So she did Give Your Heart a Break, and she did her version of Let It Go from Frozen.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was all. That was a good time. Sorry, I was just remembering that as I was doing up these notes. Then there was Confident that came in 2016. Lead single, Cool for the Summer, her best song.
Yes, yes.
An incredible song.
Yeah.
That's a banger. I feel like bangers thrown around a lot, including by us. That's a banger.
She has.
Only went to number 11 in the US. Like, insane.
Demi Lovato singles. I need to look up what I think her number one song is.
Second single was Confident then, which I don't really like, but is used in every single ad for everything. If you hear an ad on TV, you're going to hear Confident. Stone Cold was the third single. That didn't really do very well commercially. She went on tour to support the album, which was co-lined with Nick Jonas entitled The Future Now Tour. And Confident was nominated for Best Pop Vocal Album at the 59th Annual Grammy Awards, which was her first Grammy nomination. And then Tell Me You Love Me came in 2017, which is when she started recording this new documentary. So I think Simply Complicated came out that year as well to promote, like, as a promotional tool to promote Tell Me You Love Me. And then when they went on tour for Tell Me You Love Me, they started recording that new documentary that kind of became Dancing with the Devil. There seems to be a lot of stuff that they didn't include or whatever, because obviously we'll get into what happened, but Tell Me You Love Me.
Sorry,
lead
what's
single,
her song at the minute?
Dancing with the Devil.
No, before that one then.
Anyone?
No, what's the one I keep hearing on the radio?
Sorry Not Sorry.
This would have been Sorry Not Sorry. I feel like that's older. Anyway.
It is, yeah. Matter. It's 2017. It's her most successful single in the States. Went to number 6, as I said. And then we had Dancing with the Devil, which leads us up to 2021. Seventh studio album, Dancing with the Devil. Actually, the full title is Dancing with the Devil, The Art of Starting Over. This was released earlier this month. And as I said, it was recorded alongside a docuseries by YouTube Originals titled Demi Lovato, Dancing with the Devil. 4 singles. Anyone, which she performed at the Grammys in 2020. It was like very well applauded, and you see it in the documentary. What Other People Say, Dancing with the Devil, and Met Him Last Night, which I think is a collab with Ariana Grande. And then she did a few other collabs with people like Sam Fisher, Saweetie, Noah Cyrus. And then are you thinking of the song she did with Marshmello? It's Okay Not to Be Okay. That's a bad song.
What's it called? It's
basically, it's okay not to be okay. Are you talking about like any of the singles she did with like Jax Jones or something?
Yeah.
She's what's a cult that? Like.
There's one of them that's not
too bad. Ladies, one to the left, swing to the right, drop it
I
down
do,
low,
I do
take
love
it back
that Jax Jones.
That you don't need introductions.
What?
If you're the Supreme, then I'm Diana Ross. That could have been a good intro as well. are you thinking of I Wanna Whoop, Whoop, Whoop but I'm brokenhearted. Cry, cry, cry.
But I feel like there's one that bloody Spain are just like rallying out of it all year. And I really like it.
Oh, Nana.
I'm ready.
Just be careful.
I'm ready. Sam Smith.
Oh, yes. No, yeah, but that was a Sam Smith song. She was just on that.
It was. She also has one of all time.
I fucking hate that song. Yeah, she jumped on the...
Why do the monsters come out at night?
Why do we sleep when we want to hide? It's a good song.
I don't care
if you fuck up my life. Yeah, she jumped on that. Anyway, that's all the tunes. I will say, if anyone is like a Lovatic and wants to maybe tell us which albums to listen to, if there's any songs we're sleeping on, I'm very open to being re-educated. Let's talk about The Doc, though, because obviously that does bring us up to modern day. So as I said, I'd watched Staying Strong at the time, couldn't remember it, tried to rewatch it, could only rewatch bits of it, didn't feel incredibly comfortable. It was that typical MTV production. It was like very sensationalist, and they have a very specific way of doing things. I didn't really like it. I had watched Simply Complicated a few years ago. I didn't rewatch it, but you had recently, but you hadn't watched it. So I asked you to watch it. What did you think of it? Especially, and we'll get into Dance with the Devil, but what do you think of the comparison to the two? Because just on when this Dance with the Devil documentary was announced, I remember having conversations with people and with my friends where they were like, why is she doing another documentary? Like, is there a need? Like, it seems a bit much, yada, yada, yada. And in fairness, then they watched it and they were like, oh yeah, no, I feel bad. Like, it's like, this isn't like a publicity stunt thing. It's a promotion, as I'll keep saying, it's a promotion tool for this album. It's a part of the campaign run. But like,
it doesn't paint her in the best light. The newer one.
But what? What do you think is Simply Complicated? So like that cover is... Do you know the way in Staying Strong, it's like, yes, I went to rehab because I had an eating disorder and I was like hurting myself and I dealing with the pressures of fame, whatever. And sorry, when I'm saying this, I'm not saying it in a way to be like, oh, none of that's true, or it was all a lie, because it was. But it was very much like she uses the phrase herself, the tip of the iceberg, when you look at like the other issues that were at play.
Yeah, I thought, because I watched Dancing with the Devil and then the older one in that order, and I kind of went into the Dancing with the Devil one as a fan and came out of it feeling like a bit weird. And I text you saying like, I don't feel good after that. I don't know like how we're going to be able to talk about it. And then I went back and watched the other one. And that's more like what I thought I was walking into with the Dance with the Devil one. That's more like the story I thought I was going to hear. Or I don't know. It just, she was more likable in it. It was more of like, it was just more... I don't know what the word is. It was just a better made documentary, I thought. But then like you realize that how much of it was true, and like what was she hiding at the time, and like how much of it was just like what they wanted you to see, compared to like that. Maybe that's why Dance with the Devil made me so uncomfortable, is because it's really like everything raw and it's not a pretty picture.
I think so.
Or like trying to sell her in the best light. And I didn't like that, because I wanted to just keep being a fan of hers, but I saw parts of her that I didn't really like.
But when you say that, though, what do you mean?
Not that I didn't really like, but she's just not who I had in my head. You know what I mean? Like, I was like still going by Disney Demi, and all when people say, oh, they're on drugs, I'm like, you're just trying to slight them because they're famous or whatever. But like she's had a lot of issues and she's had a lot of trauma and stuff. And I don't know, I just don't think I was ready for it all. And the whole, like, I felt coming out of the most recent one that I didn't feel like we're looking at the fully like rounded version of Demi yet. Like, I feel like there's still a lot, like she's still working through a lot. I thought the documentary was a bit premature and I think she's not fully there yet. Which I know, like, recovery and all that is never, like, you don't really ever...
It's not linear,
You don't really ever fit, like, pass a finishing line and you go, well, that's it. Like, but I just felt like she was still...
As we've seen with her.
Very much in the throes of it all.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I was just, like, a bit, like, I don't want to be, like, I don't want to see her relapse again, but I wasn't confident coming out of it that she's okay now, you know?
Yeah, so I watched Simply Complicated at the time, and again I was kind of like, oh, like it's great that she's being honest or whatever, in a way that like we've never seen, especially with these Disney stars, and being like, oh yeah, no, like I was violent towards this person, and that's actually why I went to rehab, and I was doing coke, I was high all the time, whatever, blah blah blah, and it seemed like very unflinching and very real. And then you sit down and you watch, particularly the first two episodes of Dancing with the Devil, are like very
heavy
and uncomfortable. And it's mad because obviously her overdose happened in 2018. So this was a year after the release of Tell Me You Love Me, for context for people. And they released that. She was on tour and they were filming another documentary that was going to be like, I don't know, was it supposed to be like a follow-up to Simply Complicated that was again supposed to be like, she's doing so well, look at her, she's doing so well, and the album did so well, and blah, 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 everything's great, we're touring, blah, blah, blah. And you get, there's snippets of that in the documentary, but her best friend also comes on and acknowledges and is like, it was so, not annoying, but they were like, we had to shelve a whole documentary, obviously, because she overdosed, and she relapsed, and inevitably overdosed. And I think her honesty will obviously help a lot of people. And I do think it's admirable of her to want to come on and do that and share. I think it's sad that it's also kind of expected of her, because that was the argument I was kind of having with my friends when we were talking about like, why is she doing another documentary? And I was kind of like, well, listen, this really traumatic thing happened, and this is the only way she's going to be able to do it and say it in a way that it's entirely her narrative. And it's also like, from a purely business cynical perspective, it's a way to kind of get her career back on track and have her in the public frame of mind.
Yeah.
Because like, as she gets into in the documentary, there was so much more to the night of the overdose, like really horrible things in terms of sexual assault that would never have been made public knowledge only had she spoken about it and only had she said. And I suppose, again, because there is such a stigma around addiction, I feel like when people do see headlines like that being like, oh, she overdosed, like you have that connotation of that, like, oh God, she just loves the drugs and she doesn't care, which like wasn't the case. She was very much still living that pressure.
Didn't realize.
Yeah, that as well. But like, even if we're to talk just purely like the relapse thing, obviously she didn't overdose, right? She wasn't really able for this all or nothing lifestyle. The team she was working with at the time, I don't think had her best interest in her at all when it came to everything to do with her career. And personally, the one anecdote that I found so sad was the thing about the watermelon cakes.
Yeah.
So like, she talked about having this really bad relationship with her body and food and whatever. And again, she's kind of come to this point where she's realized she has to have balance in every aspect of her life. Including when it comes to substances or whatever, she's doing a thing called like moderation therapy, I think, where she is weed and alcohol in moderation. She was saying that like in the lead up to this relapse or whatever, and like whatever happened between the initial rehab stint, the first documentary or whatever, like her team, everything was like really, really strict, making sure she didn't go back to rehab, she didn't go back on the drugs, she didn't relapse with her eating disorder. So she had like watermelon cakes for her birthday. So it was like literally an iced watermelon. Like you cut into it and it was a fucking watermelon. I was like, that is the saddest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
She has a cake or a song named after it as well.
Oh yeah?
And it's like, no more watermelon cakes, no more watermelon cakes. Yeah, it's on the new album, I think.
It's just, like it was really sad. Now, and like, as I said, I do think it will help people. I think it will kind of free her of the shackles of feeling like she has to be, because this is another common theme that comes up throughout all the documentaries, even Staying Strong. She says, she was like, people were calling me a role model and I was using, I was self-medicating, I was self-harming. And I was like, why would any little girl want to be me? Why would you want your little girl to be like me? I think she's kind of freed herself of that and all of that expectation with this. I don't like the fact that Scooter Braun is involved now, whatever he wants to say and whatever he wants to position himself as, like being this person who was just like all accepting of her issues in inverted commas, that made me really uncomfortable.
But I just hate the way it's kind of, the way they show it as well. It's like, oh, so we're telling the story, and then Scooter got introduced to us, where realistically Scooter's probably, it was probably his idea to do this documentary. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where he's probably like, we can do this, we can do this, we'll get you, like, let's tell your story, let's do doc. Where, like, the same way they did for Justin. I feel like that's what he's at these days. He has a much bigger part in it than they showed, I think.
And yeah.
Much more responsibility.
I'd agree.
Documentary.
Yeah. And I will say, far be it for me to dictate anyone's recovery. And like, you know what I mean? Like, maybe this was something that was really cathartic for her. There was a part of me, the same kind of feeling that you had. In some ways it feels a bit soon, because maybe it's just so fresh in my head, and it feels like it was much more recently than 2018. And I suppose, like, with the pandemic, or I think she was due to release that album sooner, and then obviously delayed it with the pandemic. And then obviously other things started happening in her life, and they decided to document that. I didn't think that was great. My main issue is with that last episode. I did think that was really strange. I texted you initially and I was like, why are Christina Aguilera and Will Ferrell contributing to this? And I take back what I said about Christina, because in fairness, I do think they're mates and they've collaborated before. The Will Ferrell thing, they were in the Eurovision movie together, and he wrote her that like really nice letter after the Grammy performance, which is like a nice anecdote. But I was like, it opened so strangely in comparison to the other three, because obviously it's the other three are like her talking through like how actually serious the overdose was, what happened, where she is now, the changes that have happened, blah, blah. And then the last episode is basically, it was kind of like, oh yes, we have to promote an album here as well. This has to tie into Dancing with the Devil and which... It didn't really sit well with me. And then the whole documentation of the failed engagement to your man, Max Elrich.
He was very, like, very briefly, like, oh, this, she's met a boy, he's going to be around for a long time, we think this is the one. And then all of a sudden, like, no, he's gone. Like very, yeah. They just skimmed over it really,
and I kind
really
of feel
fast.
Like the initial promotion of it alluded to it being mentioned more. Which I was like, oh, you know, I feel about that. Like, it was, I don't know, like the clips that she took of herself in like October 2020, when the engagement is finished, and like she's crying and she's talking about how she really misses him. I think the only way I can fully sum up my thoughts is the text that I sent to you, where I said, I think there is such a thing as being too honest.
Yeah.
And I feel like if this helped her, I think that's great. And she kind of said herself that like she has watched a documentary back. And that ultimately she feels free. When she watched it initially, I think she says she has an anxiety attack. She said in an interview with Jimmy Kimmel. All I really want is the best for her. I'm still very worried about her. I'm very worried about the whole situation with Scooter Braun. I just felt like, fair play to her for sharing, because it must have taken a lot. But like, if I feel sad that there was an expectation on her to share any of that, really, like. And I think, fair enough, if she's like happy, but she shared it in her way.
I kind of wish it was 10 years down the line and she told the story of the night of her overdose, instead of a year and a half or two. What is it, 2.5 years?
But then again, with that, she would never have been afforded that space by the media. She would have, like,
yeah,
she would have always.
She doesn't have the luxury of time with these.
Yeah.
With people telling her story for her. Okay, I get that. I just wish. Yeah, she was older, and it was like looking back on the night that changed her life. But like, she gets into it and it's like, oh, I messed up, and then I messed up again, and I messed up again. But now I'm really like, I'm back. Like, I'm good. This is it. Like, I'm a new me. And then it cuts to her family being like, Demi's really good at lying. Demi's really good at covering things up. Demi will only show you what she wants you to see. And it just kind of makes you feel uneasy, because it's supposed to be like this well-rounded ending where she's like, look at her, she's meditating and she's finding balance and she's like growing spiritually and all. But also, like, in the back of your head is like her mother and her sisters being like, Demi's a liar. Like, Demi keeps it all inside until it gets too much, kind of. So that just kind of just didn't sit easy with me. I couldn't buy that whole happy ending. But like you said, I just wanted to be okay. And I wish it was like 10 or 20 years down the line where she was like, I want to tell you about the time where I turned my life around, instead of it being like 6 months ago. I want, you know?
I suppose, yeah, but I suppose it's just not the story she wanted.
Yeah, true. Well. Yeah.
For this album as well, obviously Dance with the Devil is a single, and the video is her like recreating the night she overdosed? And I know there's been a lot of debate around that, about how like responsible that was.
Yeah.
And again, we're not like, basically there's some people have been like, why are you glamorizing it? And there's other people who've been like, as people who've experienced addiction, been like, maybe she's just trying to showcase that like this is the reality of it.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to pass comment on that because I've not experienced that, but yeah, make up your own minds. It's
tricky situation.
It's a very tricky situation. Very, very tricky.
I have a little lighthearted, kind of trivia thing that it won't take too long.
Cool. Hit me up.
So Demi is a soprano who has a 4-octave vocal range and a whistle register. But I want to see
register.
If you can guess like 3 other people who have a 4-octave vocal range or higher. We'll leave the whistle register out because there's some
Mariah.
Yeah, Mariah actually has 5 octaves, so she's one higher. She's one more.
Ariana,
yeah.
Did you say there's men as well?
Yeah.
Andrea Bocelli?
No.
Okay.
Not on my list.
I don't know, so tell me the other two.
Well, there's actually loads, but I just want 3 would have been enough. Ariana, Christina Aguilera, Whitney Houston, Brendan Urie, Julie Andrews. I was shocked.
Should have guessed Brendan Urie.
Oh, Julie Andrews, yeah. Leona Lewis, Jessie J, Freddie Mercury, Paul McCartney, Jeff Buckley, Hayley Williams, Cyndi Lauper, all 4 octaves. Mariah, Prince, and Axl Rose all have 5 octaves.
Axl Rose!
Octave range. Yeah.
Oh, Wonder yeah, dog. Actually, I suppose. No,
Jeff Buckley, that really shook me. I was like,
Jeff Buckley, what a sexy man.
Didn't expect it from him.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. I had a bit about Max Erich, yeah, whatever his name is, but you know what, fuck him.
A bit about Joe as well, but like we need to stop talking about people with like, we need to stop discussing people in the context of their boyfriends.
Yeah, you're dead right. I didn't realize she went out with Trey Cyrus, so there you
yeah
go.
I had that as well.
I know Trey Cyrus for a spell, there you go. That is Demi. As we said, if we've missed any other gems from the Demi vault, hit us up.
Yeah,
I'll put in a playlist for the Patreon.
Yeah.
Shh, don't tell your mother. It's nothing. You know the TikTok where it's, or have you seen this, where it's like they're acting with the lyrics and it's like, don't tell your mother. And then it's like another guy and he's like, kiss one another. And then it's like pans to him on the other side and he's like, die for each other.
No, I have not.
What
that.
A fucking pity laugh. Wait, I'll say the TikTok is way funnier. I'll post and it'll make sense. It'll be funny. Any mini bandwagons?
Sure.
Brenda
I do.
Song and Macaulay Culkin have secretly welcomed their first child together. Jesus Christ.
It's the happy couple.
Congrats, yeah. I think that's what she said. Your line broke up. But anyway.
Sorry, I said congrats to the happy couple. I am looking at the Netflix coming soon, and apparently there's 4 new episodes of The Circle USA coming. Did you know this?
Yes, I saw that. Yeah, yeah, I'm very excited.
Is it a new series or is it carrying on from a current?
It's a new series. It's a new series of The American, yeah.
And it's just going to drop like a couple of seasons at a time, or a couple of episodes at a time.
Yeah, which I'm not sure what the crack is with that, but anyway, I'm not asking questions. I'm just going to watch.
Yeah, fair enough. That's coming on the 14th, which is Wednesday. Woo! Reeling in the Years is back. Did you watch?
No, I didn't. And I'm raging. Everyone was talking about it so much.
Yeah, we watched. It's good. It was good. It was exactly what you'd expect. Some absolute tunes from 2010.
What year does it start from, though? Why was everyone talking about the IMF and everything? The IMF were still knocking around.
Yeah, yeah. They were getting prosecuted or something. Or trying to...
Sorry, the absolute ignorance of me. I'm really sorry.
I don't really know much about that situation.
I thought, like, people were like... I thought I'd missed a few
years. They just expired.
Like, what? Yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure you can get on the RT player. It might be repeated during the week. I'm not too sure. But yeah, it's obviously our year and episode. So this was 2010. It's going to run for, I'd imagine, 9 episodes.
Ideal.
Yeah, buzzing for that.
Can't wait to never watch 2020 whenever it comes out.
Finally, we have not announced this on an episode yet, but we are doing a very special live episode for the Irish Cancer Society, and we have our very, I was going to say best friends, Dearing Garrahy and Victoria's Secret.
They are our best friends.
Yeah, they are now. Coming on, we're going to do drag bingo. There's going to be spot prizes from also our best friends.
Yes, I'll name check them. So tickets are €70, but you have the chance of winning a prize in bingo, but there's also going to be spot prizes on the night from the likes of The Body Shop. Woo!
Woo!
Steel Garden Distillery. Woo! Woo!
Grace O'Malley.
Woo! Tato. Woo! I think that's it.
We are blessed with best friends. I will say that much.
Yes, thank you very much to all those brands for supporting this event. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, we haven't even, this is our first time actually saying it on the podcast, and we've already
We said on the Patreon.
We said on the Patreon. Oh, my apologies, dear patrons. We put them on sale last week. We've already made over €1,000 for the Irish Cancer Society. Nothing's even happened yet. So
come on, let's smash that target, guys.
Let's absolutely smash that target. And even if you can't go on the night, you can absolutely buy a ticket and not show up, because the money will still go to the Irish Cancer Society. So I would encourage that as well.
Yes, please do that. Well, actually do come. We obviously want to see you.
Good, do come. But if you can't and you just want to give, you can just buy a ticket.
Yeah, just donate the money. Scab ourselves. Anyway, that is us. That is our lot. Bandwagons podcast.
Sorry.
On social media.
The tickets are available on Eventbrite, but you can also find them through our website, bandwagonspodcast.com.
Podcast.com. Absolutely.
As well as tickets to all our other shows.
Yes. Still buy them, please. This podcast has been produced by Collaborative Studios. We will be back next week. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Spotify to be kept up to date on the latest episodes. I've been Fionnuala.
I've been Breed.
And we will see you next time. And we have the Patreon. Sorry, I mentioned that a few times in the episode. Plug. Money hungry. No. You can subscribe if you want. Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.